Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, you had a busy, fun weekend, didn't you?
I did, Jim. It was Letterman's weekend here at Penn State, so it was long. I woke up sore. I actually woke up feeling like it was camp. When you wake up and it's like day like seven of camp, your body kind of hurts, like your calves just kind of ache. I was just running around so much, and we'll get into everything that we kind of did this weekend at Letterman's weekend. But I was quite sore. I got my massage gun out that I got from the Rose Bowl, and I was working on all my legs and some of my body. I played, I think this past weekend, at least 36 holes of golf, maybe more. It was a long one, Jim, but it was a great weekend. So I'm excited to get into it, and we'll give everybody a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on in Letterman's weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic. I did get out golfing earlier this week with my brothers, Landon. There's nothing like, we don't get out very often. We don't live near each other, but my brothers came into town. The three of us went out, had an absolutely phenomenal time. Landon, our show is brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. And also this week, Landon, you and I had a great time. We did some video work over at Bobby Ray Hall Honda, and they came out with the coolest vehicle ever, like these little scooters. What are they called, Landon?
It's the Honda Moto Compacto. Well, Jim, we're sitting in the Honda, spot, and we're talking about what we're going to do for promotion and kind of what route we want to go. And we're going over to meet a couple guys, the mechanics. And I'm like, what is this little scooter? And they go, oh, that's the Honda Moto Compacto. And I'm like, what? Why was this not the first thing we talked about when we talked about advertising? Because I was sold right away, Jim. And so we brought two of them out, and me and Jim were riding them around. They're little scooters, essentially, that fold up. And that's why the Compacto piece, where it basically folds up into a briefcase. You unpack it. It's a whole scooter. Gets up to, shoot, when I was going downhill, Jim, I think it was getting up to 20 miles per hour. I was moving pretty fast. But I had a really good time. I told Matt that the GM there, him coming back and going to just ride it on my lunch break. I'm going to come over for a ride on the Honda Moto Compacto. But we had a great time filming. We shot a bunch of different ads over there. But it's fun. I told Matt, who runs the Honda over there, that was the most fun I've ever had filming any type of promo or ad. So it was great fun.
It was fantastic. And what's interesting to me is if you walk through campus now, people are having, using all kinds of scooters and stuff. This is like perfect if you're a student looking to get around campus. These things were fantastic. And not to spoil any of the video stuff, but you and I each had one. We were riding up and down the road, and Landon, it appeared to me like uphill, I would win because gravity wasn't working in your favor at your size. However, when we turned around and we're going downhill, that's where you excelled. You really moved.
You're right. That is exactly where I took advantage, Jim. I will say not too many people are my weight and height. So, still was able to ride on it completely fine. But it did go a little bit slower when it's carrying 300 pounds uphill. So, we had a great time. We got some videos that we'll put out soon. That it was great fun. And, we'll enjoy doing a lot more stuff with Bobby Ray Hall Honda.
Just the last note, I thought it was fun. We did a segment with you trying out the different vehicles. You almost bought the Honda Ridgeline Black Edition right there, except that belonged to Matt himself. Matt was using it. You look great in that truck there, Landon. What a great looking vehicle. Perfect for tailgating.
It is. It was really nice. And I'm excited for some of those videos we did. We kind of hopped in a really small vehicle. I don't want to spoil all of it, but you got to look at me and really a small vehicle that didn't fit. And then we popped me in a big truck. It was awesome. It was a good time. So I'm excited to go back and do some more stuff.
It was a lot of fun. Again, that's Bobby Ray Hall Honda State College. check them out. Their showroom's on West College Avenue. Matt will take real good care of you. So will Evan and the rest of the crew. They did a fantastic job with us. Really love working with those guys. All right, Landon, let's get back to your weekend. And again, quite busy. You were out golfing, bowling. A lot of Penn State alums were around. Tell us about it. It sounded like a lot of great stories must have come out of that.
Yeah, so it started on Friday that we've kind of had this video in the works for a while with Drew Aller, Dom DeLuca, and Tyler Warren, where we went out. We went to Center Hills Golf Course, which is a really nice private golf range here. And we played 9 holes, which turned into like 15 holes, actually. But we brought out – I brought out my cameraman. We brought out a drone. We did – it was the whole 9, and we filmed the golfing video, me and Drew Aller versus Dom DeLuca and Tyler Warren. I won't spoil the video all the way, but let's just say Tyler Warren might have had his best day of golf that I've ever seen. So we were pretty mad. I'm like, where was the guy that I saw 2 weeks ago? Not to throw him under the bus, but he wasn't he wasn't hitting them that clean. I mean, this dude was stinging 280, 290 down the middle with his driver. But it was really fun. I'm excited. We had GoPros, too, on the carts. So you kind of got the conversation after we hit some balls. You know, me and Drew would hop in our cart. Tyler and Dom hop in their cart. So you kind of get that, too. You get that piece of seeing behind the scenes. So if you follow any golf YouTube, we kind of follow that format. But that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring people, you know, bring them around, showcase their personalities and things outside of football. A lot of guys enjoy golf. So it was really fun to get into that with them. And I think we're going to be having a rematch. So, and, you know, very well, I know Dom DeLuca is obviously a captain, but very well, 3 out of the 4 people in that video could be team captains this year, Jim. We actually talked about that with Drew Aller, Tyler Warren, and Dom DeLuca. So, you know, definitely some star power in that video. So that'll be coming out in about a week or so. We got a lot of cool stuff coming out on my YouTube channel. So check me out, Landon Tangwall, on YouTube. If you're interested in seeing any of that, seeing behind the scenes stuff with our football players, check me out on YouTube at Landon Tangwall. But that was the beginning of Friday, Jim. Then we got into it was that. Then we transitioned to Letterman's weekend, where we had big stars coming back: Kajana Carter, OJ McDuffie, LeVar, Spice Adams, a lot of really big time names that it's fun to get around and talk to. You know, you play Penn State football here, you might not meet them, but you see their pictures on the walls and the facilities. And, you know, you run into them and you're like, dang, that's Kajana Carter right there. Like, that's crazy. But it was awesome. I bowled. I was with my own team. We did not bowl very well, Jim. It was a questionable effort on our part, but it was great fun. OJ McDuffie was basically.
Wait, stop. You can't get away with saying you bowled without telling us some of the numbers there, Landon. How did you bowl? What was your score?
I would say we bowled 2 games. I'd say I was over 100 for both games, but I was right around like 115, 120, which, you know, not very good. It's serviceable. It's serviceable. But disappointment, considering the fact, Jim, I found out the day before that I was bowling as a letterman, so I got assigned to a team. So I said, you know, look, I haven't bowled in like 10 years. I got to go to the bowling alley. This is on Thursday, and the bowling event's on Friday night. I'm like, I got to go to this bowling alley on Thursday to get a little bit of my swagger back, man. Because I used to bowl back in the day when I was like 10, 11. And so I was in there. No one was in there on a Thursday afternoon. And I was getting reps in. Needless to say, it didn't really translate too well, considering my score wasn't too spectacular. But we had some current players come out that loved to bowl. Trey Wallace, Zion Tracy. There was Kobe King. Hakeem Beeman, Devon Elise, we had a bunch of guys come out that the current players that didn't really have to be there, but they wanted to be involved. And some of them are very good bowlers. We have some pretty elite bowlers on our team. I don't know if anybody is aware of that. I know Micah Parsons is a big time bowler as well. So Penn State football team, we might need to have a current player bowling event where we get them involved with some fans so our fans can get a good look at how these guys can really get out there on the lanes. You get out there on the links for golf. What do you call it when you get out there and bowling? Yeah, we'll get out there on the lanes. We'll have to put something together sometime, but maybe I'll showcase it on my channel. Maybe we'll take some guys bowling and see.
You know, you used the word swag. You got your swag together and you're bowling a 120.
Yeah, it wasn't really swag. Well, look, I'm playing next to Hakeem Beeman, who brought his own ball And he's wiping it off. You know, they grease up the lane. So he's wiping the ball off every time. And I'm like, dude, I can't compete with this, man. He's out there spinning the ball. I'm going old school straight up, Jim. It's like old school kicking. And when, you know, now they go at the side, they attack the ball at the side when they're kicking a field goal. We used to just go straight back and straight forward. You just toe kick the ball. Same thing with my bowling. I don't go side to side. I don't spin the ball. I'm straight up and down. But no, it was a great event. I grabbed some guys for interviews. So we talked to Mike Maddie. We talked to OJ McDuffie. We talked to Jana Carter. So a lot of cool behind the scenes stuff coming. I had my cameraman at all the events this weekend. So we will, once again, on my YouTube, on all my socials, I'll be putting out a ton of stuff, kind of recapping the weekend. So the fans that weren't able to come out can get a little bit of a behind the scenes look at what went on. But it was great fun. Like I said, we had current players, we had Letterman, we had everybody. Devon Elise showed up in what I thought was a little bit of an outrageous outfit for Bowling Alley. I think he had four chains on his neck and had a couple hats on, was wearing his sunglasses inside. So I had to make fun of him a little bit.
Wait a minute. How did he bowl? You're allowed to do that if you're good.
Jim, Devon Elise is what I call a room worker. He did not bowl. He was just working the rooms, showing his face, having a good time. That's what Devon does, though. So he was meant for that role. And then our guy Goon, Keith Conlon, he was there as well. Was not bowling. That we had Keith Conlon of the 94 Penn State offense show up in flip-flops to a bowling alley. So I had to make fun of him a little bit for that. But he clearly had no plans to bowl. He said he was tired or something. So maybe he needs to go take a nap. But anyways, that's a good friend of mine. But we had great fun on Friday. It was a very long day after golfing and bowling, but got around a bunch of current stars, former stars. And so I'm excited to kind of show the fans a little bit of that this coming weeks when we put out that content.
That's fantastic. I'm sure everyone's looking forward to the videos on it. However, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. If you're like a 115, 120 bowler, I want you one-on-one, Landon. Me and you.
Okay. All right, Jim. All right. That's all right. If you think you can take me in bowling, we're gonna have to make that a thing now. And we'll have to show the whole world. So I'll bring Michael, my cameraman, and me and Jim are gonna go ahead. What do you normally shoot?
Well, like 130.
Okay, all right.
I haven't bowled in forever also. It's probably literally a couple decades. Hmm. But the real quick story, one time I played in a bowling league where I was no bowler at all, like a 130 bowler. One time landed, one time only, just everything fell into place. And I'm like you, no big curve. If anything, my ball went the other way. I bowled a 230 game once.
Wow.
Just, and there were like seven strikes in a row, and Landon, not one of them was the same as the other one. Everyone was different. It was, if you want to talk about a lucky game, that was it. All right, let's get back to some things more relevant when we come back for quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football, but also, Landon, we're talking about your weekend. We had you bowling with or golfing with the guys with Drew and Dom and
Tyler Warren.
That's yep. And then bowling, and then you golfed in the Letterman's outing, right?
Yes, correct. So I show up to the Letterman's outing, right, and I just plan on doing media because I'm. Technically, even though I am a Penn State Letterman, I'm still technically kind of on the team. I'm still got a year left of school. So I'm not technically fully a Letterman yet. So I show up and I'm getting film. And we kind of see the score sheet, and it shows where everybody has to start at. And we see the names. So I go over, we see that I know the course very well, that hole 12 and hole 6, the tees are right next to each other going the opposite way. And I see that on hole 6, it's like, you know, Troy Apke, Trace McSorley, a couple other guys that are, you know, kind of younger, still playing or just ended their playing days. On the other side, Omar Easy, Justin Williams, Lydell Sargent, a couple other dudes that I know very well. So I figure, hey, let's go there first. We'll get some kickoff footage. Well, I show up. We get some videos of Trace and those guys teeing off. And the group with Omar Easy and those guys, there's only three of them. And they're looking at me and they say, and I've played with these guys before, very close to them. And they say, hey, you know, where are your clubs? I said, they're in my car. I'm just doing media today, though. But they're back in my car near the pro shop. And they said, go get them. We need a fourth. So next thing I know, Jim, I was only planning on being out there for an hour. And it was, I think the whole East Coast on Saturday was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was like 75, 80 and just sunny. So, Jim, I need sunscreen. And I didn't have any because I'm only planning on being out there for an hour. I get called up to the big leagues. And by the way, I played a lot better. I think because I wasn't expecting to play, played a lot better than I played on Friday, which was on camera, unfortunately, but you know, it's all good. But I had a great time, but it was, you know, spontaneous, spur of the moment type thing. Got to play with a couple Lettermen. We did not win. I believe that the Ganters won. I believe it was Chris Ganter, the other Ganter, drawing a blank on his name, Jesse James, and one other dude. So they had a good day, but it was all great fun seeing out there, kind of starting to get in touch with some of these Lettermen, and hopefully get them on my show, on our show, get the fans to hear from a lot of guys they haven't heard from. So it was all great fun, but yeah, it was a good moment, Jim. I got called up to the big leagues. I think the media took a little bit of a hit from the standpoint of me capturing media because I had to go play. But all in great fun, and we had a good time. So I'm happy it worked out the way it did.
There is nothing like tournament golf, playing a nice scramble, having fun. It's the absolute best.
Couple summer shandies too. Those are always fun.
That's not so bad either. Go ahead.
Jim, I was going to say, Jim used to make fun of me. I did not consume beer. I wasn't a beer fan, but I had to kind of grow up a little bit. I'm about to be 22 now, Jim. So I said it's time, and that is my favorite. So shout out summer shandy. If anybody out there listening, I'm a big fan.
All right, you're now a big boy with a big boy drink. So that's I'm glad to hear that, Landon, that you've made your way up.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back. Let's talk some Penn State football. What do you think?
Let's get it. Sorry about that, guys.
yeah, no problem. I'm sure everyone wants to know what's going on. It's fun to hear what the Lettermen are doing, how they interact when they get back into town. But Landon, here's one topic I want to get to because I thought it was interesting and I should give credit. I saw this on social media. Somebody put out the offensive line starting unit, what was projected. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is they grabbed from just about everywhere, from Arlads, Victory Bell, Black Shoe Diaries, the Collegian. And they put out their starting five, and I sent this to you. I wanted to get a reaction. Now, I think all of our listeners, we know who the names are. But it does get a little bit interesting in going through the names here. There are some that are absolutely like, hey, Nick Dawkins is the starting center. But the names get shuffled up a little bit with the guards and the tackles. Yeah. I just wanted to get your reaction and your take since that's your position group.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty in line. So yeah, every single spot has Drew Shelton left tackle. I agree with that. I do think that's where he will be. He will be the starting left tackle. Everybody has Nick Dawkins starting center. We all know what Nick Dawkins brings to the table for this team from a leadership standpoint, not only just from his play. And then Sal Wormley, our old guy, sixth year, he's chugging along, making sure his body doesn't fall apart. He will absolutely be the starter at right guard. Now, where we have some people mixing it up is the left guard and the right tackle. So a lot of left guards are Vanga Ione and then JB Nelson. So they're kind of fighting back and forth for who's really going to start at left guard. Now, I do think between those two, and I just talked about Sal being in his sixth year, I think there's going to be a lot of rotation with whoever doesn't start at that left guard. So whether JB is the second guy or Vanga's the second guy, who I think they will see a lot of playing time at right guard because of the fact of if there is at all, you know, blowout or up by 21 points, or even if not, I think they're all three very much, you know, guards that can start in the Big Ten. I think Trout is going to make sure to rotate those three. So even though one of them may not start, I do think that there is going to be a heavy rotation, making sure that Sal doesn't get, you know, too much plays put on him, because we've talked about this. You play college football for 6 years, your body starts to deteriorate. You need a little bit of help from your coach taking some of that load off you. So I do think we'll see, no matter who it is, JB Nelson or Vanga, whoever is that backup left guard, will play a lot of right guard as well. So there is that piece of it. Now, this is the big competition in my eyes, is the right tackle position. In this list, I believe this is they took it from six different lists. And we see Nolan Rucci at right tackle. We see Javen Williams at right tackle. And then we only see one prediction with Anthony Donka at right tackle. So I have to – first off, I have to give my props to the PSU Collegian, because they're the only one that put Anthony Donka at right tackle. And I've spoke about this. I feel strongly. And I don't know. You know, I haven't really spoken to Trout at all. So this is just how I feel and the things that I've seen. But I think Anthony Donka is 100% going to be the starting right tackle. And I was actually just with him the other day at Lift for Life. And I swear, this dude has put on some weight in a good way. I mean, I went to, you know, when you go and you shake someone's hand, or, you know, how we dap each other up and kind of bring it in. And, you know, you pat them on the back a little bit. And I patted him on the back and I'm like, I look at my hand. I'm like, God damn. I'm like, Donk. I'm like, what have you been doing? I'm like, you're huge. I mean, he is just rock solid. I mean, really starting to remind me of Olu. I'm going to be so honest. Not as much. Even when I saw him 2-3 months ago, not even as much. But now he is just a solid 6'5 with long arms. I think there's a big competition between Nolan Rucci and Anthony Donka. So I don't think that's over at all. But in my opinion, I think it's going to be Anthony Donka. I don't see any way that it's not, just from his raw talent that he has. And he's also a student of the game, someone that is always doing the right stuff. You're never going to see him on a list. And when I talk about on a list, that means on like a power hour list. That's what we talked about last week. You're not Anthony Donka, you know, does all his work. The type of kid that has a 3.5 GPA, basically Olu Fashanu. He is essentially Olu Fashanu reincarnated. Hopefully he can kind of have that same style of play on the field and lock guys down. But I am really excited for his opportunity to protect Drew, just because what Drew had last year, and I've spoken about this, Drew, we don't really talk about the fact that we lost two elite tackles, and that is huge for a young quarterback to have that protection on both tackles. Both are gone. It's going to be young guys stepping up. But I think Anthony Donka can really step in and fill these shoes that Caden Wallace left behind. But, you know, like I said, I like the predictions. I think it's fun that we're getting some out there and we're able to kind of have some dialogue about this. I do think Javen is a kind of a swing tackle, but I see Javen getting a little more work at left tackle. That's kind of how I foresee it. But either way, great depth. We've talked about this too, Jim. People are going to get hurt. That is the simple truth, especially on the offensive line in the Big Ten, where you might be running the ball 25 times a game or more. Your guys are going to get banged up. You need to have depth. And once again, just like last year, Philip Troutwine has a good 3 to 4 guys that he can plug in and play when he needs to. And let's not forget about young Cooper Cousins, who I think will see a lot of playing time behind Nick Dawkins, especially in those earlier games when we get into some blowout situations. I think Cooper Cousins is going to get a lot of burn, and I would not be surprised if he loses his red shirt this year because he's going to play that much. And I think that would be a testament to how the coaches feel about him. If you're that willing to burn someone's red shirt, that means you don't think they're going to need that fifth year just because of how good they are. They're not going to need that fifth year to get them to the league. So those are some of my predictions that I see happening. I see Anthony Donka at right tackle. I see Cooper Cousins playing a lot. And just once again, fantastic depth building on this offensive line by Coach Philip Troutwine. So we have to give him a shout out.
Very good analysis of this, Landon. And just a couple quick thoughts from here. Some of these national projections. Now, you got to remember, national groups, they're doing this for over 100 teams. Mm. So some of them, you know, you got to forgive them, or maybe not, for going off in a direction that, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I don't see that. I think the other point you make about the depth is really interesting, that it's not as top heavy where you, like you said, you had two NFL caliber tackles last year who are both gone. Now, what you have instead is a lot of depth and a lot of different names of people who could play. The final thought was the when you mentioned Cooper Cousins getting an opportunity to play, it's now reached a point, Landon, when you have a player that level, he's not going to be here probably 4 years, let alone five. So the idea of protecting a guy's red shirt just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, not at all. And some people will say, hey, you know, what if he gets injured or something like that? Majority of the time, if you get an injury and you haven't played that much of the season, they'll also give you a medical red shirt. So there's not, you know, because I think some people would have that worry. Hey, you take away his fifth year. What if he gets injured? Then he only really has 3 years. But there's a lot of protections for the players now to make sure that they're afforded the right amount of time. We've seen that with – this is actually the final year, I believe, that people have COVID years, this group that's kind of using them up right now. So we won't have too many more sixth years incoming. but yeah, I don't think there's any worry about that. And I think he's someone – we have a lot of great guard depth, but like I said, you never know how it shakes out. Cooper Cousins can also play a guard.
Yes, he can, and I think we'll be seeing a lot of him. All right, that's it for quarter two. We'll take a break and be back with a lot more in quarter number three.
Keystone Sports Network.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda State College. They have a great inventory of new vehicles, including the 2024 Honda Civic with financing rates as low as 3.9%. They also have an amazing selection of pre-owned vehicles. Landon, you and I got out there last week, saw some of these great cars. And you know, of course, I have the Honda CR-V. You got, during our video, you got behind the wheel of my car there. I had to worry a little bit that you weren't going to take off with it.
I know. And I got behind the, what was the truck? The black.
The Ridgeline.
The Ridgeline truck. And we were filming the commercial and I kind of drove off for the commercial. I think Matt was a little worried. I was going to keep going. I wasn't going to come back with it.
Yeah, that's a great vehicle. I'll tell you, that's really nice. It even has the setup there in the back for tailgating. Check it out if you're looking for a new Honda or a used vehicle. It's Bobby Rahal Honda State College, West College Avenue for the showroom, or online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Check them out. All right, Landon. A couple more things that came up of interest this week, kind of on the national picture. And Chris Buchanani and I did a show. If you're listening in State College, we did this show right before. If you're doing it through the podcast, look it up, the show with Chris Buchanani, where we talked about Penn State and where they are in taking that next step. Can James Franklin get Penn State to the elite status? And my discussion with all of this is I don't want to use the word handicap, but the difference between Penn State and the elites, the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, look at your recruit ranking every year, Landon. They're always like 1, 2, 3. Penn State's more like 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. And that happens every single year. You are up against a talent gap, are you not?
You are. And I think you kind of look at how teams finish in the rankings, the actual college football rankings compared to your recruiting rankings. Those correlate. You know, like you said, Ohio State is normally in the top three, and they're normally, you know, in the playoffs in contention, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Michigan. And then, like you said, we're normally in the tens, low teens, maybe we'll be 9, 8, 7 around there. Same thing with how we end in the college football rankings. We'll be right around 10. We might be 12. We might have a good year and be up to 7 or 8. But we're not getting up to that number one spot, number two spot in recruiting or on the field. So there is that direct correlation. But now, I mean, Jim, this is NIL. This is directly correlated to NIL. And I think some fans, and we've talked about Penn State's NIL troubles, and how, you know, it's not exactly up to par with Ohio State, with even, you know, Notre Dame, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. And that's going to start to show a little bit. If we are not able to land and pay these top recruits, I don't really know how that, you know, that starts to affect us. I don't know how quick that'll show. But over time, you start getting, you know, kind of lower level 4-star recruits. You're not hitting on those 5-star dudes because they're saying, hey, I would rather go here and make $750,000 if I'm a 5-star. I mean, you're probably making over $500,000 if you're a 5-star wherever you go. That's kind of just the brutal truth of it nowadays. That is the kind of the price tag that is placed upon these elite level recruits. Well, Penn State isn't offering that type of money. It is almost becoming Penn State's an afterthought if they're not offering that amount of money. It's like, hey, that's not even in the conversation. If you're sitting there with your parents and here's Penn State, you know, just throwing out numbers with 200,000 and every other school for me, for this 5-star, whatever lineman, defensive lineman is saying anywhere between 500,000 and $1 million. I don't even really know if Penn State's in the conversation. So I'm not saying that's not happening in every single situation. I'm sure there is some money that Penn State is offering to these recruits. But I think it's going to continue to show. I mean, we are currently sitting for the 2025 class. We have 6 blue chip commitments. So that's 4 or 5-star guys. You look at Notre Dame, Ohio State, they have 12. Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, they have 11. We're up there. We're still, I mean, it looks like we're maybe around 10, 11, 12 as far as the blue chip commitments go for the 2025 class. So we still have a little bit of time and ground to make up. There's a lot of things go into this, Jim. Are you able to get the donors to contribute? What is the revenue sharing going to look like when schools now have access to $22 million to pay their players? I think now there really becomes this almost, you're putting this, you know, if you're top five, let's say if you're top five in a position in the NFL, you're getting paid X amount. That's just how it works. I think that's where we're headed, where everybody's getting this $22 million, or, you know, if you're a lesser school, you might not be getting $22 million in revenue sharing to disperse throughout your players. But Penn State is going to get that top notch, you know, 20, 22 million in that range. Are we going to be able to, you know, figure out a way to get it to these guys and make sure that we are getting the elite recruits that Ohio State, that Michigan is getting? Because you're right, there just has been a little bit of a talent gap, and there's only so much you can do when you're a coach and you're just not getting the talent the other guys are getting. And when we talked about, look at our wide receivers last year. I mean, Kyle McCord was absolutely really helped out by Marvin Harrison. Roman Wilson really helped out J.J. McCarthy, and they had playmakers. You really, you know, we had great tight ends, but you didn't really see Drew Aller being helped out by his guys. And that's just the frank truth of it. So I feel like this is where we can start to close the gap with NIL. We need to figure out the best way to go about this and make sure we have money circulating to pay these 4- and 5-star recruits. They're going to turn into these guys that are going to be very impactful on Saturdays.
You know, Landon, prior to NIL, the world was still Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama at the top of the recruiting rankings. And by the way, I believe this blue chip is a pretty good way to judge how your recruiting is doing, because some of those rankings they take in the number of recruits. Hey, we've got, you know, 25 recruits. We got a big number. None of them are four stars, but we got a large quantity. This tells you how many high level players you have. And it's fascinating to me, the numbers now, as you presented for this year, this is during the NIL era, but it doesn't look a whole lot different than it did prior to the NIL era. And as you mentioned, it's going to be where schools are going to be able to compensate the student athletes directly with that $20, $22 million or so, which you hope will level the playing field a bit. But the only schools that won't pay that are schools that aren't really football schools or don't pay enough attention to it. I believe that all the schools that you listed in this ranking of a number of blue chippers that they have, they will be paying that full amount. So the question becomes, you know, if you're a Penn State fan and you look at this, you say, I don't want to be the school with six blue chip players on this. I want to be the one with 12. So how do you get from here to there? Can you get from here to there? Or is it that elite level is pretty much reserved for Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State?
I don't think it is. I don't think they have to be up there. And you talked about these guys were all at the top before the NIL era, and now they're still at the top. And I think that's because they went to their donors, they went to their fan base and said, hey, if you guys want us to stay where we are, we have to get behind this NIL thing. And I don't really think that was too much of a hard convincing, Jim, because of the fact they were already doing that behind the scenes. You know, not everywhere. I think a little less at Ohio State. You know, there was always that thing with Chase Young that went on where it was, you know, not confirmed, but very talked about that he was getting paid. There was a couple guys getting paid. But down in the South, we know the frank truth of it. Alabama, Georgia, those guys were getting paid money pre-NIL era. I mean, that's a known fact. But so they had the people backing that. They had, hey, now we're able to do this. Can dump money into this program. We were playing by the book here 100% at Penn State. So there was no head start of having donors already ready wanting to give money. You have to work those relationships, especially with those. We have to get them in and find a way to get them to want to support. And then this is something I've been talking to. I was talking to some Letterman this weekend about this, you know, a bunch of people. But the corporate sponsors, Jim, I don't know who's going to tap in first, but you really haven't seen these big corporate sponsors. You haven't seen an Allstate or something like that on, you know, put them on the jersey. I mean, do you know how much, you know, an Allstate, a State Farm would pay to get on someone's, a Penn State and Ohio State team's jersey? I think you'd be able to get tens of millions of dollars a year easily. To put that on your uniform, and you're able to then what? Disperse that to the players. I think that'd be worth it. I don't know if that's kind of too compromising for some teams to put that on their jerseys, especially Penn State, where we have, you know, very much tradition. We're not putting the names on the back. We're not changing too much. But hey, the college football world is now forever changing. So we need to adapt and figure out a way to get money in our guys' pockets. So then when we do look at these, you know, blue chip commitments, we are at the top and we have the money. Because that's a simple truth. I don't think, Jim, that there is that much difference between Penn State and Ohio State when you're looking at it from a recruit standpoint. I can tell you this. One of the reasons I picked Penn State was closer to home. I like the coaches a little bit more. So there were those factors. But when you're really weighing out what the schools give you, I think they're pretty much even. What is taking these other schools up is they have the money to offer. So I think we get up there and we start offering the same amount of money. I see us landing these guys even maybe at a higher rate than those other schools, but we just have to be able to offer this, what we call throw the bag at the kids. You call it throwing the bag at them. We got to be able to offer the bag, Jim. I just don't think we're able to do that right now. And it is hurting us with, especially, you know, you can kind of get away with it with these four-star recruits. And we're newer in the NIL era. It's not everybody is getting just a boatload of money, but if you're a five-star, you're not landing a five-star recruit anymore, unless you're giving some serious cheddar to them. So if we want to get those top guys, we're going to have to start throwing around some money, Jim.
And that we're going to keep this going in the fourth quarter, Landon, as we're running short on time here. But there's a lot to be said for – Can you do it as a team, overcome some of this? You got to at least be close. Okay, even if you don't overtake the other teams, when we come back, I want to ask you about that concept. We'll do that when we're back for quarter number four.
Keystone Sports Network.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon, I'm Jim. And Landon, when we finished up in quarter three, we were talking about, you know, where Penn State sits versus some of these other schools as far as landing blue chip players. Some of this is, as you pointed out, it's financially based. And I don't like when the fans, the lay people say, oh, wait a minute, I can't believe he went there just because they were offering him $1 million. Landon, guess what? I would go there for $1 million. I'm a totally dedicated Penn Stater, but if Pitt offered me $1 million, go Panthers, right? Yeah. And in this, you know, in our real life, and think about people out as fans, if someone were offering you much more money to change jobs, you would do it too, you know, to take care of your family. And it's not just greed, which is what I think a lot of fans throw out there. Now, on the flip side, you also have to spend your money wisely. We've seen in professional sports, there's salary caps in some sports there aren't. In baseball, there's not a salary cap. My Mets, Landon, have the largest payroll. Guess what? They don't win. It's not working for them, Landon. Now, I think, you know, you have more a chance of winning if you have more money to spend. But when we as Penn State fans, we look at what Ohio State, specifically this year, what Ohio State is putting out in money, and it's, gee, why can't we be like that, or we can't compete with that? My point is, I think the vast majority of schools, there's more Penn States than there are Ohio States out there.
Yeah, no, I definitely think you're right. And I think there is a cool piece of NIL that we have seen over the past couple of years. We're seeing random teams that really would never have any business being in the college football playoffs kind of eke their way in, whether it's like a TCU, whether it's Washington, Texas. I don't think if we're not in the NIL era and they're not paying guys, I don't think they make it. I think it is going to be every year where it was Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame. But I think we're getting some more variety of better teams, you know, popping up at the top. Now, it is a little bit short-lived at the moment, but I do think NIL invites the opportunity if I'm a TCU and we're not really ever that good, well, hey, we have a hell of a lot of money. We can start dumping that into some players. Now, does that always work? No. I mean, look at Texas A&M and some other schools that have tried that, and they dumped millions of dollars into freshmen that never really played. And then there were stories coming out of the guys never really even getting paid that money that they were promised as freshmen. So throwing money at a problem does not always work, Jim. But there is that piece of it where, hey, other teams can now kind of compete on the same level, because if you have that money, if you have these donors backing you, you are able to just get these higher level recruits. Because like you said, it doesn't matter if you're a Pitt, if you're kind of like a lower level tier in your conference. If you're able to offer a guy $500,000, and the next best offer that he has is, you know, a lot less, you know, maybe $250,000, I'd be thinking about going to that lower level school. And especially it's somewhere you kind of sell it like, hey, we're able to give you a little bit more money and you can come here and be a star. You know, you go to Ohio State, you might get kind of put behind some dudes in a room where you can get stuck and not get to play to your full potential. Come here, make more money. You can start as a freshman, et cetera. So I think there is some selling points that NIL definitely helps out with and gives us a bigger variety of teams competing than previous to that. Because I think it was kind of – we were stuck in that rut of Alabama, Georgia, Clemson. That's kind of what it felt like at that point of, you know, from 2014 to 2020, the pre-NIL era. We kind of knew what teams were going to be in the playoffs. We've mixed it up a lot these past couple years of teams that have been in the playoffs that have not been in a long time, Jim.
You have, and it's interesting, but I also think the money has to be spent wisely. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, Washington, and I'll throw Oregon in there also, they both made very wise decisions in the transfer portal and bringing in Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Okay. It was a smart use of their resources. Now, and we know the amount of money with the quarterback at Florida who ended up at Arizona State, then transferred. I can't remember where he went to, but he's in court suing because he said Florida offered him $13 million and reneged on it. Now, my take on that, Landon, is even if they had gotten that quarterback and paid him that money, was that a smart use of that money?
I don't think – no, I don't – and there was no need to offer a quarterback that much money. I don't think – yeah, it's Dylan Raiola, I believe, and he's at Georgia now.
No, I think it's that – I thought it was Rashida.
Oh, we're talking about two different – I think we're talking about two different cases.
Okay,
yeah, you're talking
but
about,
it's similar.
Yeah, Rashida, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I know you're talking about now. But, no, yeah, it is – it's this whole thing going on where why are you offering someone, you know, $10, $13 million? That's just – that is far and away, and I know you're trying to make a good impression, and you say, hey, this is a five-star quarterback. Let's put some serious money into this. And I'm sure in those scenarios, it was probably one big donor that said, hey, I'll give you a blank check. How much does this kid need? Let's get this five-star quarterback here to be our dude for the next 3 to 4 years. So I'm sure that's kind of what was going on. And then when it didn't work out, the donors are saying, hey, I'm not writing a check for that guy. You know, he's not, you know, panning out the exact way we thought or whatever the case may be. But I think we'll see less and less of those cases as stuff, you know, using the word regulated in today's NIL world is kind of a funny thing to say because nothing is regulated really. But I think everything will become a little more regulated and there will be an understanding of, like I said, if you're a top five quarterback in the NFL, you are going to make a certain amount of money. Now, I do think it could be like the NFL where guys are constantly kind of resetting the market. There's always a guy that gets paid and he sets the, you know, the highest paid ranking. And then guys who say, hey, they just set a new market for us. I'm getting paid in 2 years. I can't wait till I get paid because I'm going to be even more. I think that will happen as well. But I think we'll settle in to a space where, hey, if you're a five-star quarterback, you're going to get X amount of dollars. I don't think that will be $13 million. For a long time. So I think that was kind of a dumb investment to be throwing that much money at one guy. I mean, imagine you kind of disperse that $13 million over a ton of dudes. I mean, Ohio State said that they spent around like $30 million on their staff and their roster. I think majority of that was more towards the staff. But I saw, I believe LSU came out. I was doing some research. They said they spent like $8 million on their roster for this coming season. That's what Brian Kelly said. And you're talking about $13 million, take half of that, and you can build a fantastic roster, Jim. So, I do think there is definitely a way to be spending your money in NIL the correct way and not putting all your eggs in one basket, at, you know, putting $13 million into one guy.
That's my point, is roster management. And I know how important quarterbacks are, but if you look at high school recruits coming out, there are, if you look at just players who are in the top 100 rankings, or I did this exercise a couple years ago, Landon, where I went over a 7-year span where there were like 14 5-star quarterbacks. Over half of them would be considered a bust. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the case. So my question is, and just like you were pointing out, for $8 million, I can give 20 players $400,000. I could build for $2 million. Couldn't I build a pretty good offensive line?
I think so. I think you get some of the top guys around. So yeah, there is, it's all about where you want to put your money. I guess that's really what it is. And I might be a little biased, Jim, but I'd go that route. I'd put some money into an offensive line. It doesn't matter who you have running behind them. If you've got five dudes up front that are legit and some of the best in the business, hey, it's going to make everything else turn out a lot better. I do think it's going to be fun to watch coaches have to also be GMs now, because now you have to figure out, and I don't know, maybe that's a role that's coming, kind of a GM of a college football team. That's an interesting point, honestly, to bring up. I think the coaches have enough on their plate. Would that be too much to add basically GM, where you're having to figure out exactly how much we have a budget, how much do we want to pay each player, where are we going to put our money, you know, where are we valuing our money the most at? Is that offensive line? Is that defensive line? You know, do you want a lockdown cornerback? I think it'll be fun, but it's completely changing the world where, and I was talking to this NFL agent about this, where college football every year, it's essentially unrestricted free agency every offseason. There is, you know, you can go out and grab anybody from any team, and it's extremely easy. All they do is pop their name in the portal. They're showing up at your university the next day with the boatload of money that you offered them. So it's you not only are you a GM, but it's even tougher because you're a GM that everybody's contract is basically up at the end of each year. So that's, you know, not even saying that to say, like I said, I wonder, can James Franklin, can, you know, Ryan Day, all these guys, can they manage that? Or do they need to essentially bring in a GM type of guy? So I think that's a position that we could possibly see start to kind of make its way into college football.
At the very least, you need someone who, a money manager, who says, hey, James, if we're giving X dollars to the quarterback, we're going to miss out on wide receivers and how to distribute, you know, your funds. And also, do I need to then reserve funds for the transfer portal? And I think there will also be strategies that are different. You sent me a list, Landon, and we'll talk about this more in a later show, where schools who had the most transfers, and Colorado had 44, many teams had 30 or more transfers. A lot of guys are going out, a lot of guys are coming in. That's their model. And Colorado's the extreme. Penn State seems to go the other way. Very selective. Not a lot of guys leave, a lot of guys coming in. I would think that would create a better culture in the clubhouse.
100%, Jim. There's no way that you can say that Colorado will have a better culture than Penn State in doing that. That is purely just trying to win, trying to get the top guys in, and not building something at the school. I think we know what Penn State and Penn State football represents. It's we are something bigger than just a football team. This is a family. I don't want to speak to Colorado because I don't really know. But I think we can kind of all look from the outside and say there's not a drive to make that a super family atmosphere. And we'll talk about this on Landon and Jim versus the world later this week. But, I mean, the things that Deion Sanders that are kind of coming out about him and the way that he's handling everything, honestly, a little bit to be expected by Deion Sanders, but it's not Penn State. It's not Ohio State.
Very different culture. That is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.